Your heart. It's the only one you have. Fortunately, you also have a choice. Expert cardiologists, talented surgeons, highly skilled specialists, all of whom chose WakeMed. Why? The main reason is the same reason patients choose WakeMed. Everything you need for the best possible care is right here. Learn more at WakeMed.org. WakeMed Heart and Vascular Physicians. Your heart, your choice.
If you think we had something to do with Andrei Svechnikov's big game earlier this week, I'm not a superstitious person, so I just might not agree with you. But the fact of the matter is this. On Monday here on this show and on Tuesday here on this show, we called out Andrei Svechnikov. Now, it wasn't a mean call out.
Yeah, like we didn't want to fight him or anything.
It wasn't like a...
Well, I wasn't even here, so I can't...
meet me in the parking lot. It wasn't that. But it was, if the Canes are going to play better, we were getting nitpicky, right? If they're going to have their ceiling reached in the postseason, they need good Andre. They needed Svech to play like the second highest paid player on the team and all these things that you know, his status brings. And then Tuesday night came around and he had a lacrosse goal, right? The Tuesday night came around and Svech pulled off the Svech. And on top of that, played a great complete game, didn't get caught up in the frustration that Boston was trying to lure him into, and that has been a problem for him in recent weeks. It was a great game. And of course, one of my reactions on Twitter was like, well, you know, tell me to shut up, Andre. That sounded pretty personal. And the amount of keep calling him out or who should we call out next as the responses were kind of funny to me because I'm not a superstitious person. I don't think, you know, oh, I wore my lucky jersey, so I should wear it again next time. But let's pretend. I figured it would be a good pretend, right? If we call out Svech, Svech steps his game up, plays great, who's next on the list? I'm calling out Jack Drury.
Wow, I was going to say Jack Drury too.
Look at that. Unplanned synergy between me and Graham Hill, who's producing the show today. Jack Drury is next on my list of people that need to step up. Again, not in a mean way. I'm not saying he's been playing bad. I'm not saying he's been holding the team back. I'm not saying anything along those lines. But I'm saying he could be the gasoline to the fire that right makes it go to another level. He missed about 2 weeks with an injury towards the middle of March to the end of March. Missed about 2 weeks with an injury. Since returning, he's played in 8 games. I have his goal and assist total memorized. Those 8 games. 0 goals, 0 assists. It's not hard to memorize. No one is asking him to go ahead and be Gensel or Aho. Or Jarvis,
yep.
or Svech, or heck, even like Kuznetsov. But he on that, if he is, kind of quarterbacking, centering that fourth line, and you can't see it if you're listening on radio, but I'm doing the air quotes, fourth line, because it's really not the quality of a fourth line. But if you're going up against other teams' fourth lines, if you're going to be the guy calling the shots at that level, you know, whether it's Nason, Drury, Fast, or something along those lines, you can kind of take everything one notch up. If that group is producing points, if Drury is producing points against those back of the lineup defensive pairings for your opponent, that takes a little bit of pressure off of the ones we just mentioned, the top of the line, the first two lines, even the stall line, because that gives them a little bit more freedom. It gives them a little bit more wiggle room, gives them a little bit more of that loosey-goosey, play light, play loose, play well thing. And goodness gracious, if you can unlock the top lines even better than they've been playing, specifically that top line, that Aho, Jarvis, Gensel line, if you can unlock them to play even a percentage better, that could be the difference. That could be the difference. Right, when you get to the postseason, and this is true for every sport, but I feel like it's even more true in the NHL, the intensity goes up. The physicality goes up when you get to the postseason. And the Canes are only 3 games away from the postseason. With all of that ramping up, your margin for error shrinks. Right? And it truly becomes one of those situations where you may not realize, you know, a shift with your fourth line in the second period of game two of a 7-game series, you look back and go, wow, that was the turning point, wasn't it? And you'd like to think the game always comes down to, like, Aho, right? You'd like to think, and in some ways it does, but that's only if everyone else is doing their job. So I'm looking at Jack Drury as the guy who, if I do have, which I don't believe I do, but if I do have some magical powers, right, if the hockey elves came through and sprinkled some magic dust on this show and said, all right, whoever you call out is going to immediately ramp up their play, I'm going with Jack Drury.
Now, I will say, to be fair, outside of the scoring production, I've been really impressed with Jack Drury's ability of just becoming a scrappy player. You could tell he's growing with his feistiness and being willing to drop the gloves with other players' opponents. Like,
Rubbing some of that Harvard off?
Yeah, exactly.
Taking the sweater off the waist?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
He does kind of have that look, doesn't he?
He did go to Harvard, which, I, by the way, I know that's the most said thing about him. I'm tongue-in-cheek saying that. That's what I'm not saying he's bad. And by the way, it's not like Svech was playing terrible either, right? It's just be a hint more aggressive, right? It's don't just get the look, finish the look, right? Don't just be in position to have the puck bounce your way. Be in position to have the puck bounce your way and take advantage of it when it does. It's that next step. Right. The best example is Svech going for the lacrosse goal, the cradle goal, the Svechnikov. You only do that when you are being aggressive. Right? That's your confidence is at an all-time high. You don't, you know, you play it on the ice, maybe you look for a teammate in the front of the net, you try to be a bit more conservative when you're just trying to make maybe less waves. Svech was not interested in making less waves. I want Jack Drury to not be interested in making less waves. I want him going in with the explicit goal of making waves. And again, it's a compliment, right? These call-outs don't happen for players who I think they just need to get by. They come to players who I think there's another level. And yes, just to be extra clear, we are going to be going through the Canes with a fine-tooth comb leading through the next three games, right? It is polishing season, right? It's you're getting to the fine sandpaper. You're trying to finish things off and put the finishing touches on their season, because once the postseason gets here, it's too chaotic to do any of that. Jack Drury, you are the next thing on our polish list.
And who knows? He could be the X factor the Hurricanes need in the postseason. It seems like there's always a theme with the Hurricanes in the postseason. You know what you're going to get out of Aho. You know what you're going to get out of Jarvis. This year, throwing Gensel. There's always kind of, I don't want to say under-the-radar player, because all the Hurricanes players on their roster are good, but a guy you're not expecting to achieve. Like Max Domi two rounds ago when the Hurricanes needed an X factor player against the Boston Bruins in the first round.
It does feel like it happens more in the NBA because there's just so many more points scored. But there's that game where, like, you know, you call it the Mike Miller game. You call it the Olynyk game because it's like that random role player scored 28 and hit six threes. There could be a Jack Drury game.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it is an Eastern Conference Finals against a team like Boston that you just played, or an Eastern Conference Finals against a team like, I don't know, Florida, right? Whoever it is. And then you get three goals in a four-game stretch from Drury, and that's the difference. Thank you for listening to the Best of the Drive podcast. We're here with Coach Pete, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Coach, let's hear about your power plan.
Well, Coach Pete's power plan, 22 steps to get you on the right direction for retirement. Also, make sure you have a successful, income-filled retirement. Tim, the next 10 people are going to give that away. No cost or obligation.
For the power plan, call 800-691-3215. You can also go ahead and text Tim to 600-700. The phone number, 800-691-3215, or text Tim to 600-700. I want to go back to something we talked about at the beginning of the show, which is the Canes and Jack Drury. We were picking somebody to call out. We called out Jack Drury. Do you know who I think is Well, actually, I shouldn't say do you know who. Do you know who has proven that this Canes team understands what the call-out culture is? Pyotr Kochetkov. I was nervous. If you go back, and we're going to do this later on in the show, Hurricanes and Cons, our Hurricane confidence, our Hurricane concerns, what are we most confident about, what are we most concerned about for the Carolina Hurricanes? You go back a couple of weeks, right when Freddie was getting back from injury, getting back between the pipes, and started playing really, really well, right? 95% save percentage. Crazy good from Freddie Anderson. I said, you know, this is an issue. Because it was supposed to be Piotr's net starting about a couple months ago. It was supposed to be Freddie's net first, but then with the blood clotting issue, it became Pyotr Kochetkov's net. And you never know how somebody's going to react to those challenges. What I've loved about both Freddie Anderson and Pyotr Kochetkov is when one of them plays well, when one of them has a shutout, when one of them has a 30-save game, when one of them stands on his head, it's become more likely that the next game, because they've been going one in, one out rotation, the next game the other's going to play well. That is a special kind of competitor, right? Because your mind gets put in a pretzel at a position like goalie or at a position like, shortstop or quarterback. These positions where there's really only one that plays. It's you want what's best for the team, but you're also in the business of professional sports and you want what's best for you. There'd be a hint, just a tiny part of you that's like, I want him to play well, but not as well as I'm playing because when we get to the postseason, I want to be the guy in net. So the fact that these two guys have been going tit for tat, right? They've been going anything you can do, I can do better, as well as Freddie played and as well as Piotr was playing. They've continued to do that. That's the sign of a true selfless, but not completely selfless, right? A little selfish. Like, I want to do better than you, but a healthy culture inside that locker room. And so when we're calling out players, I know they're not treating us like the same as their backup playing well, but that ethos is kind of the same, right? That theme is kind of the same in that some people, when they're called out, well, they crumble. Some people, when they're called out by the opposing team, rise to the occasion, right? The other team talks trash. The other team gets physical. They level up. But as soon as they're challenged from someone inside their own locker room, someone at their position coming for their spot, they crumble because it's like it's friendly fire. I really like what those two guys are doing in net. I really like what those two are doing in goal because it shows how healthy their culture is and how it truly is whatever's best for the team.
So when I was looking to transfer, it was a lot of one-on-one, and it didn't feel like I got lost in a huge university because I knew that if I came here, there was going to be someone I could talk to about every aspect of the courses I needed to take, but also, too, I loved the smaller classroom sizes, and I liked how interactive and immersive all of the learning was going to be. It wasn't just going to be me sitting in a room with a couple hundred people and a professor who didn't know my name.
To find out more about transferring to William Peace University, visit peace.edu.